Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. Father, we pour out our praise this morning. Father, we are here because you wanted us to be here. It is your plan that we come before your presence because you have packages for us. Be thou exalted this morning, Father. Be thou exalted this morning. Take all the praise, take all the glory. In Jesus' name, Father. Thank you for this opportunity to minister this morning. We pray for your hand to rest on us, for your voice to be heard clearly. Father, we are going to listen, and our hearts will be fertile. Oh yes, fertile for the blessings you have for us this morning. Father, we thank you. We say distractions will not be our way. In the name of Jesus, we are focusing on God this morning because our Father has something for us. Be thou exalted in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Please, I'll just keep us standing while we go through. We declare a vision for this year, the confession for this year. Are we alive in the house of the Lord?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. We have you on the overboard. On the overboard, praise the Lord. 2, 3, go. 2025 is my year of God's shalom, jubilee, uncommon breakthroughs and breakouts, and fresh oil. In 2025, there will be nothing missing and nothing broken. God's shalom is mine. All is well with me, spirit, soul, and body. The peace of God that passes all understanding is my inheritance. When I lie down, I have peace. When I rise up, I have peace. When I go out, I have peace. When I come in, I have peace. I dwell in a stronghold of security and prosperity. Every evil beast is displaced out of my dwelling place. I am not troubled, agitated, disturbed, intimidated, or unsettled. God's shalom is mine, and all is well with me, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. This is my jubilee, and I will thrive in 2025. All debts are canceled. And all lack is erased. My destiny will not be aborted. My fruits will not be miscarried. My potential will not be buried. My glory will not be stolen. This is my season of bountiful harvest, exponential promotions, unprecedented growth, and accelerated progress. I am full of the spirit of wisdom. I am in the right place at the right time, with the right plans and the right pursuits. I am separated and elevated. I am lifted by the favor of God and carried by His grace. I am led. I am ahead. I am blessed. I am the head. I have rest on every side. I reap the rewards of faithfulness. Faithful is he who began his work in me, and he will also finish it in grand style. I have the mind of Christ. I think the thoughts of God. I walk in God's due order, and this is my due season. I am anointed with fresh oil and replenished with the dew of heaven. There is no lack and no stress, no dryness and no tiredness, no weakness, no sickness. The Ruach of God is breathing on my mind. The same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead quickens my body and my bones. I am sharp as a tack, and my memory is blessed and renewed. I will go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills break out with singing before me, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. This is my season of uncommon breakthroughs and breakouts. By my hands, kingdoms are subdued. Mountains are removed. Promises are produced. And the enemies are confused. I am strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I am valiant in battle, and I overcome by his mantle. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Who are you, O great mountains? And where are you, O great giants? I have the spirit of might. I am a vessel and a pillar of valor. There is nothing I cannot do, and there is nothing that can undo me. I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength into me. I am sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. Finally, after all the uprisings of the adversary, the victory is won and the miracle is born. Hallelujah. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Surely he will deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He will cover me with his feathers, and under his wings will I trust. I tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon. I am treading under my feet. With long life he satisfies me, and he is showing me his salvation. For I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord. Because they call thee an outcast, saying, this is Zion, whom no man seeketh after. Then shall the lame person leap as a deer, and the tongue of the dumb will sing. The eyes of the blind will be opened, and the ears of the deaf will be unstopped. Waters will break out in the wilderness, and streams will flow in the desert. 2025 is my year of God's Shalom, Jubilee, uncommon breakthroughs and breakouts, and fresh oil. In 2025, there will be nothing missing and nothing broken. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Praise the Lord. Can we be seated, brethren? Praise the Lord. I am excited this morning to share with you, brethren. Welcome to the house of the Lord. You know, the story, what God has put in my heart to share this morning, is just to stir us, to provoke us. The last line of our confession says, in 2025, there will be nothing missing and nothing broken. Remember last week or 2 weeks ago, when I was up here, I said we should not settle for less. We are in the days where we value everything. Praise the Lord. We should not settle for less. The devil wants us to settle for less. And you will see it this morning. The devil wants us to settle for crumbs. That's what he has in his mind. He wants us to settle for crumbs. Not the best. That's his plan for us. That has never been his plan. From the Garden of Eden, that was his plan. He wanted man to fall so that man would not get the best. He only asked about the fruit that they asked them not to eat. He did not also tell them about the fruit of life. He did not. And so this morning, I would like us to share from the Bible, the 2 Kings chapter 13, which is a very interesting story. From 2 Kings chapter 13, verse 14, we are going to read from verse 14, going down to about verse 19. And the Bible says, now Elisha was fallen sick of his sickness, whereof he died. And Joash, the king of Israel, came down unto him and wept over his face and said, oh, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. The Bible scholars will remember that same shout, that same cry. Somebody gave it. If you remember, that's the same cry Elisha gave to Elijah. And Elisha said unto him, take bow and arrows. And he took unto him bow and arrows. And he said to the king of Israel, put thine hand upon the bow. And he put his hand upon it. And Elisha put his hands upon the king's hands. And he said, open the window eastward. And he opened it. Then Elisha said, shoot. And he shot. And he said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance and the arrow of deliverance from Syria. For thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek till thou have consumed them. Verse 18. And he said, take the arrows. And he took them. And he said unto the king of Israel, smite upon the ground. And he smote thrice and stayed. Verse 19. And the man of God was wroth with him and said, thou shouldest have smitten 5 or 6 times. Then hast thou smitten Syria till thou hast consumed it. Whereas now shalt thou smite Syria but thrice. Praise the Lord. So Joash was the king of Israel. Remember, I said, we should not settle for less. Joash went to his father. He called him the father. Elisha was the prophet then, but he was dying. And you know, whatever somebody does on their dying bed, people take it very serious. Like, very serious. I don't know about in the Western world, but back home in Africa, when somebody tells you something on their dying bed is gospel, you don't dare go against it. And Joash, who was a king, knew of these customs. And he came with a burden. Now when he came, Elisha knew the burden in his heart. Elisha had seen that there was one thing that this king wants. This king has been fighting wars. But I want to liberate him from these wars. I want to take that away from him. I will give him an opportunity to do it himself as a prophecy. And so the Bible says he gave him some instructions. There was a promise that they gave him that he will smite the Syria. He will smite them. He will consume them. But then there was one task that was his responsibility, to smite the ground. Remember, Elisha did not give him a specific number to smite the ground. He just said, smite the ground. I don't know how many bows were in that quiver, but I'm pretty sure there were at least 6 bows in that quiver. But the king smote thrice. And the Bible says, just because he smote it thrice, that's the number of times he was going to destroy Syria, or the battles he was going to win. He was going to win battles, but not the war. Elisha was interested in the war, the finishing of the Syrians. But the king, for some reason, the Bible does not tell us, smote 3 times. Brethren, this morning I want us to go against the spirit of mediocrity. Amen. To go against the spirit of mediocrity. All my life, as I've been studying in school, all those who have ever been at the top have been those who are working hard. There are some who are smart. It doesn't really take time for them to grasp and keep. But even then, they still have to work hard. Believers today, we are so comfortable with the little blessing that we get. Hallelujah. You see, in our confession, there are promises for us. Complete promises. And we can be tempted to just hang on one. And that's it. You can be led, you can be ahead, and you are blessed, and you are the head. And when you have that, you are happy. But do you have rest on every side? Hallelujah. Do you have rest on every side? A tendency to always get the small and go out, and you are happy. That is not the way God wants us to live our lives. Now, God is a God of the best. If you look in the Bible, when God deals with man, he deals completely. When he gave his son, it was his one and only begotten son. It was the best. The Bible says even angels ask the question, what is man? What is this man? You sacrifice your son, the risk of not even coming back. God was giving us a blueprint that I give the best. I walk in the platform of the best. And that's what I want us to have this morning. That we have to elevate our minds to begin to want the best and not be comfortable with the little, with the signs of abundance. We should not be comforted with the signs of abundance. We should be expecting the abundance. Praise the Lord. Elisha was angry because he knew what has happened. He knew that this thing is not only going to affect Joash now. He will win those three wars. He won them. The Bible tells us that he won them. He fought those three wars and he won them. But what about his generation? What about his generation? Did he look, did he think that the war was not only for him? He had an opportunity to position his generation for peace, not war. And where there is peace, there is development, there is growth, there is prosperity. He failed his generation. Because he had that mediocrity. He was contented. When they told him that that's the arrow of deliverance, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance, and the arrow of deliverance, he knew perfectly what was going on. It is said that in those days, when you wanted to go for war, you would go in the battlefield and you say, okay, I declare war with Russia or whatever. And then you will say, okay, where are we meeting? You remember, they always met somewhere. David, you know, David went to the battlefield when Goliath was making noise. That was a battlefield. That was where it's a place designated for battles. You know, and some are speculating that the reason why you have a lot of petroleum in the Middle East is because a lot of wars were fought and a lot of lives were lost. And petroleum is as a result of it's coal. It's as a result of, you know, fossil. And so you have a lot of petrol over there. I don't know how much that one is. The scientists will tell us. But there was a place for battle. And so when the story it goes that when a king wanted to fight another king, he would take a bow and arrow, and then he will shoot it in an empty space in front, and it will go and fall, and the other king will be like, oh, so he has declared war. And then it is said that they'll give like 30 days for a parley, you know. They'll give 30 days for a parley, which is like, let's come and talk and see if we can resolve this thing peacefully without fighting. So Joash knew all these things. And when Elisha told him, open the east window, Syria, facing Syria. Syria was in the east
to the east of Israel. Open the east window and throw that arrow. Joash knew that that arrow was a symbol of declaring war with Syria. And God said, when you declare that war with Syria, this is what I want you to do. Hit the ground. But Joash did not hit it to the end. He did not take upon himself that opportunity that had been given to him to position his generation for peace and prosperity. The choices we make not only affect us, they affect our bloodlines. And maybe you are the only one who is a believer in your family. It's not by chance. God has positioned you there to identify patterns in your family that are contrary to progress. And to stand at the gate and say, it will not happen. Maybe in your family you have women who don't get married. Or maybe in your family you have, when they get married, they don't last long in marriage. Or maybe in your family, every cycle, for every 5 women, there is a barren woman. Or maybe in your family, nobody ever even is interested to go to the university, to college. You identify those patterns. And you stand in the gap. And you hit that arrow on the ground. You hit it until you know the deliverance has come. You hit it until you say, where is more? That's what Elisha was expecting from Joash. Remember, every step that Joash did was an instruction from Elisha, right? He said, bring your bow and arrow. Okay. Open the window. Okay. Now, aim. He put his hand there. And he shot. Now, shoot down. Did Elisha say stop? Then why did he stop? He had an authority in his life who had seen the future for him, who had established success for him. But he did not listen to him till the end. He was supposed to wait for that voice of Elijah to tell him, stop. And because he did not hear, he was supposed to shoot. We have many of us today don't have that authority in our lives. We might want to hear what that authority says at some point. But when we are satisfied with what we have, we don't wait to get the final instructions from that authority. And we position ourselves situations that we don't want. Situations that we don't want. Mediocrity is a cancer. We always make fun of ourselves that back in Africa, we use our witchcraft to destroy one another. But in the West, they use their witchcraft to elevate themselves. That's not it. What is there is, some people have decided not to accept mediocrity. They said, no, we have to elevate ourselves. Amen. They say, no, why do we have to use candles? And then somebody sits and says, can we build light? And then you have light. Somebody worked hard and did not accept the status quo, did not accept what the environment, what he was born into. Somebody decided to work hard for us to be where we are today. In the world, the planes that we take, I know now is the time for vacationing and, you know, the planes that we take is as a result of people who have stood in the back while others are sleeping. They are working hard to accomplish something. Believers, we have become comfortable. We cannot even interpret the signs that are around us. We don't know what God is saying when things happen. We just go along. Joash had an opportunity to establish Israel for prosperity and success. Imagine, the whole life of a whole nation was in his hands. But he failed. Jesus Christ knew one thing. When Jesus Christ was on earth, everything he did had a plan. He had an agenda. He did not just wake up in the morning and say, "Okay, Father, what do you have for me today?" No. He prayed. The Bible says he will go to somewhere on his own, and he will pray for to download what God has for him for that day. And then he will come and meet the people. If we look the book of John chapter 4, there's a story of the Samaritan woman there, which I assume many of us know about it. But there's something I want to draw from there, just to add to this, the fact that your attitude matters. Your attitude to situations as they come your way matters. You either elevate yourself through those situations, or those situations bring you down. But in the Bible, the book of John chapter 4, when Jesus encountered this woman by the well, he says in chapter 7, "There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, 'Give me to drink.' Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, 'How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria?' For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans or Samaritans. And Jesus answered unto her, 'If thou knowest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, "Give me to drink," thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water.' Now the woman said unto him, 'Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with.'" And that was the whole reason why Jesus was asking for water. He had nothing to draw with. But let's go to 15. "Say, the woman said unto him, 'Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw.' Now Jesus said unto her, 'Go call thy husband and come hither.' And the woman answered and said, 'I have no husband.' And Jesus said unto her, 'Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. Word of knowledge, in that said thou truly.'" Jesus told this woman her whole life. He told her. And the Bible says, "The woman said unto him, 'Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship.' Jesus said unto her, 'Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." Praise the Lord. This woman has received the word of knowledge. Somebody telling her about her life. The person, there was no way this man knew about my life. Because this man, first of all, is a Jew. The Jews don't even mingle with the Samaritans. Then I would have suspected that maybe one of his friends told him about me. But that was not the case. She knew very well. "See, I perceive that you are a prophet." Now, to some people, that would have been the end of this story. To some people, having this word of knowledge, they will turn to their followers and say, did I know her? When did we meet? And then just go. You know? But the Bible says Jesus waited for her. Because Jesus knew that I just this is the first arrow I just put. You know? I just put the first arrow. This is not the end. My goal is to preach to everybody in this city. That was the principal goal of Jesus. The woman was just the instrument to trigger this occasion to preach the gospel. So you see how small things can trigger big things in God's plan. Very small things can trigger big things. Like I watched somewhere where somebody said, he prophesied word of knowledge to a woman, said, this is your wife, your husband. The woman said, yes, man of God. And then he just threw the mic like that, bam, and went and left. He left. Did he know if that was the end? Was that the end of God's plan for this woman? Just to tell her everything about her life. Jesus said, no. I am telling you this to trigger. Because if I go and meet the Samaritans, they might even stone me. They might chase me away. But if you go and meet them and tell them about what you have seen me, they will want to know if what you are saying is true. And the Bible says they came, the men came, and Jesus preached to them. And then they came back and told the woman, we believe. We believe not because you have said it, but because we have heard it by ourselves. That was the main goal. Jesus wanted a testimony that would trigger salvation to a multitude. Praise the Lord. Like I said in the beginning, our God is not a God of half and half. God does not start something without knowing the end. Amen? God does not. And when God already knows the end and he comes and he introduces himself to you and gives you a task, he is giving you this task because he already knows the end. And so you should not stop halfway. This goes even to our kids, the way we bring our kids up. You have a responsibility as a parent to pray for your children. First, for their salvation. They will not go astray. And that they will use their potential, their full potential. Academic wise, everywhere. Cover them under the blood. And you command the blessings of God. The full one. You have to pray for them. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us in Psalm 105 verse 4 that we should seek the Lord and his strength, which is seek his full, his face continually. Only by seeking God like that are we going to understand and know his plans for us. There's a reason why we've been emphasizing about the need to seek God, to know God. Because God is always concerned with giving us the best. In Romans chapter 8 verse 32, the Bible says, he who did not spare his son, but delivered him up for us all. In James chapter 1 verse 17, it says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. In Ephesians chapter 3:20, it says, now to him that is able to do what? Exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask. That's God's commitment to us. Say, I will give you exceedingly above everything that you ask. You might not even, you might be one thing, you know, it's like you are going, somebody comes and meets you and says, hey, you know what, Brother Fringe, I want to give you a gift. I hear you like Toyotas. So I have arranged with a dealership, you know, just go to that dealership and take a Toyota Highlander. Let's use Toyota Highlander. Yeah, you like Toyota Highlanders. Just go and go. And then you go there, and the first Toyota Highlander you see is an XLE. Now, XLE is the lowest. XLE is the lowest without all those. It has limited accessories, you know. You get in, air condition is there. You can start the car. You know, all those things, they are there. The normal thing you will see in a car. You know? Now, you go there without doing your research. And then they say, okay, you have come. And then the lady is like, this is the man they said we should bless. That he will come and take a car, any car he wants. And when the lady sees you taking an XLE, he's asking, are you sure this is what you want? He said, lady, don't even put sand in my Gary. This is what I want. Don't even try. I am going out of this dealership with a Toyota Highlander XLE. He said, no, that's not what I meant. That's not what I meant. There is more. There is more. Yes, there is more. There is another one they call limited. You say, limited? How is it different from XLE? Oh, let me tell you. You know, in limited, behind, right, your children have these DVD screens. Do you have it in XLE? No. Oh, okay, you are now talking. Say, tell me more. He said, look, limited is not even the best. There is platinum. He said, what is platinum? Platinum, first of all, the paint is ceramic. So when you look at it, rain falls, it just rolls. The color is intact for long. The tire has been nitrogen, it's not tubeless. And then you are just shaking and say, yes, this is it. This is what I want. The best. You know, the best. And you say, yes, this is what I want. How much does it? You don't even ask how much because they have already paid for it. Now, when you go and do your research, you realize that a Highlander is 40,000. Limited is 50. Platinum is 70,000. You're like, what? But if you did not have that knowledge, you would have gone for an XLE. Many of us go for the XLEs. Many of us go for the XLEs. I want us this morning to say, mediocrity is not a portion. Mediocrity is not my portion. I will not be denied my full blessing. I will not be denied my full blessing. See, this is my season of uncommon breakthroughs and breakouts. See, by my hands, kingdoms are subdued, mountains are removed, promises are produced, and the enemies are confused. See, I am strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I am valiant in battle, and I overcome by his mantle. We are going for the best. For the best. Don't finish paying your credit card and you relax and say, oh, that is it. Oh, I have done it. Say, nah, look, that's not the only one. You have this other debt. Finish paying for it. Hallelujah. God has blessed us in our family in a way which, if I begin to speak here, you will just say, God, this is just God. I remember we started the year with a lot of credit card debt. And I told my wife, we have to do something. Brethren, from nowhere, Places unexpected. I was sharing with my brother. Places unexpected. Money came. Praise the Lord. And I said, nah. Yes. This is God already talking. God is doing it. God is erasing. All debts are canceled. And all lack is erased. Praise the Lord. And I said, no. I have to pay this debt. Paid everything. Why? Because when you have credit debt, you are working for somebody. I don't want to work for somebody's pocket. No, that is not the blessing God has given me. He has promised my own blessing. He has not said, I will bless this man through you and begin to give money to people, other people. No. And I stood on that. And God has been blessing. Amen. God has been blessing. Amen. You could wake up in the morning and you don't even know what you will eat or how this situation will be resolved. Go before God. Present it to God. Amen. Make your request known to God. Amen. Because He already knows the end from the beginning. Amen. He already knows the end from the beginning. Amen. So, in conclusion, God is not in the habit of partial business. God is not in the habit of partial business. Because the gift He gave to us was total. It was Jesus. Remember, even at some point, Jesus said, oh my God, can this cup be taken away from me? God said, ah, I don't do that though. I could bring you back now. That's fine. He could do that. Did He not take Enoch away? Did He not take Elijah away? Moses, where? Do we know where Moses was buried? He could have taken Jesus and said, is it too much for you? Okay, come. But He said, no, son. I am a God that goes to the end. My promises, I cannot promise through the prophets of your coming. And the prophets have declared your coming. And then halfway, even though I can bring you back, but what will it say that you promised and you could not fulfill? God is not a God of partial business. And we should not be people, men and women, of partial business. Amen. If you have the capacity to do something, do it to your fullest. Amen. Maybe you are smart, you are a nurse. I don't know why I like to use my nurses. My wife is a nurse. I have some wonderful nurses in the house. But if you are a nurse, where do you start? You start with LPN in Ohio, right? You start with your LPN. But if God has blessed you with an ability to go above an LPN, why do you remain as an LPN? Why do you remain as an LPN when you can go get an RN? And then when you get that RN, why do you remain as an RN? When you can get a BSN. When you get your BSN, why do you remain as a BSN? When you can become an NP. And why do you remain as an MP when you can become a doctor? Praise the Lord. If you have the ability to do something, use your ability to the fullest. Amen? Use your ability to the fullest. If God has exposed you to something in your life, He has given you the ability. You know, there was a day I entered it. I took a bus to go back and visit my parents when I was in college. And in that bus, I met a classmate of mine when we went from one. From one is about, what, seventh grade? Eighth grade? Eighth, are you sure? From one is it's 7 years plus 6 years plus from one goes to high college, right? So it's about sixth grade. So when we were in sixth grade, I used to play soccer, and I used to play good soccer. I was very skilled. So I met this man about 15 years later in the bus, and he looked at me and said, "Kermit, is you?" He said, "Kermit, why didn't you go and do professional?" I said, "You don't know what happened." He did not know that I had left them, and I came back to another city, and God just took me. God said, "Look, my son, I have something greater for you. Something bigger." And you know, back home, football, you want to go and play soccer? Ha! Your mother will beat you. You will not even understand. I don't know how many times I was beaten. I will go out and play my soccer and come back dirty. My mother said, "Okay, my turn. Let me play on you." She will beat me. And the following morning, it's like nothing happened. Soccer out. It was a revolving. I say yes. But as I became older, I just left it. But why am I saying this? I'm saying that he saw in me skills. And he wanted me to use that potential that I had. He was a very good soccer player. But he looked at me and said, "You have skills. Go be professional." So if God has given you skills and you have an opportunity to use them to the fullest. Use them to the fullest. You know, sometimes the pastor shared about was teaching on the mighty David's mighty men. David's mighty men, to make that list, it's not any kind of person made that list. When they outline what they did to earn that. It's not today that you have to know somebody and they say, "Oh, come and take a medal of valor." Nah. It's not like that. It's not. There were those who went to the valley when it was snowy and killed lions. And David said, "Okay, mighty man." Asaiah was the one who ran. They said his feet were swift. He could run here like. They said, "Okay, nobody can do that, mighty man." He was thirsty once. And then the Bible says, I think two or three of them said, "The king is thirsty, even in the camp of the enemy." They went and they brought water and they gave the king. The king said, "Nah, I cannot drink this water. Because you guys have risked your life for it." There were men who had identified their strength and then used it for the benefit of the nation of Israel. And then David now said, "You know what? This is what I will do. I will reward you by being part of this mighty men." We have to say no to the spirit of mediocrity. Amen. Praise the Lord. In Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3, he says, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show you great and mighty things that thou knowest not." God is not in the business of partial business. He's not in the habit of partial business. He's not in the habit of partial business. And so as believers in this generation where we have a lot of distractions, where we go and we put in a lot of efforts on things which don't really matter, where we go away from God's path. In this generation, we have to stand out. We have to stand out. We have to come out. We have to make our neighbors know that there is something special about us. We have to make our colleagues know that there is something special about us. We have to make our friends know that there is something special about us. But we can only do this if we identify the gift that God has given us and we maximize it. Like Joash, we will not strike that ground three times when we have a lot of arrows in our quiver. We will not do that. We will not let Elisha down. Spoiled the prophet's last days on earth. Because I'm not sure Elisha died a happy man. He was angry because Joash had an opportunity to establish something once and for all. But he did not live up to his. God is calling us to come out, to claim all that which he has in her confession for this year. And we claim everything. We do not leave one stone unturned. We take everything. We take wisdom. We take this year as the year of Jubilee. It's a year of rejoicing. Take it. Don't say no. Praise the Lord. Let's stand up, brethren. The world is looking for talents. They have shows. American got talent. London got talent. Or Britain got talent. I try to identify people with talent that they can sign for label signings and all that stuff. We will identify our talents in the Lord. And we will maximize it. When we pass, people will recognize the hand of God on us. People will ask, but why are we not doing the same course? Are we not in the same field? Why is everything just so easy for you? They don't know that you are maximizing the talent that God has for you. Your quiver is not empty. You are using everything in your quiver. You have emptied your quiver in your profession. And so God is saying that this is what will happen. You are getting the victories for every battle. You are winning the war and not just the battle. And you are not only doing it for yourself, you are doing it for your generations. Your generation to come. You are establishing and positioning your generation in a place where they will not have to stress. You are creating spiritual wealth. You are creating physical wealth for your children. We will not be like Joash. Praise the Lord. Pray to God and tell God you will not be like Joash. You will use the arrows that you have in your quiver to bring victory for your family. You arrest patterns in your family and bring them to an end. And stand there as a watchman. You will call upon the Lord. You will declare victories. Victories for your family. Victories for your city. Praise the Lord. Father, we exhort you this morning. We thank you, Lord, because you are a God who is not in the habit of partial business. You are calling us to maximize the gift you have given us, not to be mediocre in our dealings, not to accept less, but to always go for the best. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. To always go for the best. To always go for the best. To always go for the best. Oh, Father, we thank you. Be thou exalted, we pray, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord.